Morning, we focused on the leper who returned to give thanks to Jesus and to praise God. And we had a gospel focus and a gospel application. I'm sure you remember that leprosy we liken to sin, a disease we all have. There's no cure. Morality, religion, we can't paint over it. It's there, it's reality, and it causes chaos physically, socially and spiritually. We can't go home to heaven with this disease. But Jesus is the one who can cure us. Jesus is the one who lived a perfect life for us, died the death that we deserve, rose again from the dead, ascended back to the Father, asked the Father who poured out the Holy Spirit, who makes these things real to us as individuals. We're born again, new life. We're able then to repent and believe, to call upon the Lord, to cry out to him. That was our focus this morning. But now what about the other nine? All were healed, and Jesus is amazed. So only one who saw fit to return and to praise God and to give thanks. So really tonight an application to believers. And question might come to us. Here's a man who's praising God and thanking the Lord Jesus Christ. When does praise begin in a soul? And when does praise actually finish? When does praise to God and thankfulness to Jesus end? Is there a time when we should not be grateful to God, praising him and saying, Jesus, thank you? Well, it's a rhetorical question, isn't it? Because you're bound to answer, well, no, there isn't a time. There really isn't a time. Never is the answer. I'm reading now a series of letters written by a Scottish minister in the 17th century, a man called Samuel Rutherford. And if you have time to get a copy, they're not expensive. And you can sit down and just read a couple of letters with a cup of coffee. And they really are astonishing. With the background of what he went through, it's amazing that he wrote as he did. Now, his wife died quite young, not before she'd given birth to six children. Four died in infancy and none of them survived Samuel Rutherford. But his wife got a dreadful illness and was 18 months in bed in terrible agony. And there were no remedies in those days. And some of his letters are filled with his pity and his concern for his dear wife. He was exiled from his beloved parish in Anworth, and he had to go and live in Aberdeen, 200 miles away, because he insisted on preaching the gospel. And yet his letters are like distilled essence of beauty and wonder and praise and glory and thankfulness. One of his most famous quotations is this: when I am in the cellar of affliction, and it was often, I look for the Lord's choicest wines. Well, we can smile at that, but this was the essence of the man. He's in the cellar of affliction. I look for the Lord's choicest wines. So I think about myself, praise, thankfulness. Ask yourself the question, am I one of the nine? Is there a staggering ingratitude in my life? Or am I, as a believer, still thankful to Jesus? Is grace still amazing? Is it still amazing to be saved? Do you pinch yourself at times? Do I feel the awesome privilege of being a child of God? Because it really is staggering. We're going through Romans, we're in chapter 8, and remember verse 17, we are heirs. We are heirs of God. We are joint heirs with Christ. It really is truly amazing. Now, am I amazed at this? Am I looking up? Is my vision fixed on Jesus Christ and who he is? And then flowing from who he is, what he's done. I think primarily, I've got to be captivated with who he is. Not the benefits I receive, but be focused on the glory of who he is and that he's made me an heir. And surely the joy has got to flow. But if my focus is on this world and its circumstances and what people are saying about me, is that still my focus? How dare they do that to me? See, this is the thing. What am I full of? Am I full of me? Am I full of Christ? Where does joy come from? Jesus. Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the darling of heaven, the Prince of glory, the one who lived for me, died for me, and rose again. Is my life now a life of praise and thankfulness? Because if it is, that is evidence of the power of God in the gospel. People want to know. People do want to know if it's true. And I think the world out there watching and observing would really like to know what truth is. Is there any truth in this Christian message? Christians claim to be saved. But could they point the finger at you and me and say, well, if that's what it is, it's no different to what I've got. That's the problem. Is my life full of thankfulness? Am I deeply grateful to God for all his blessings to me, that I am an heir? Heir of God, joint heir with Christ. I'm going through J.C. Ryle on Luke. Now, after the summer break, we are going to start Luke's gospel. It's been on my mind for quite a while, doing a lot of reading. And I thought I'd reread Ryle on Luke, because Ryle is so warm and engaging as he goes through these passages. He's commenting on the Magnificat and Mary's burst of praise. And he has these comments. We too shall do well to walk in Mary's steps in this matter of cultivating a thankful spirit. It has ever been a mark of God's most distinguished saints in every age. David in the Old Testament and Paul in the New are remarkable for their thankfulness. We seldom read much of their writings without finding them blessing and praising God. Let us rise from our beds every morning with a deep conviction that we are debtors, and that every day we have more mercies than we deserve. See, the thing is, we often think we deserve something. That's not grace. Grace is undeserved mercy to undeserving people. Oh, yeah, we think we deserve something. Well, if you get what you deserve, it's wrath. So every day, now, whether we're converted or not here tonight, if you have a sense of well-being, then praise God and thank God for that. Because if you die as an unbeliever, you will never know any sense of well-being again. But now is a day of mercy. Now is a day of grace. Make sure you enter in through the narrow gate. Make sure that you do turn to God. Because one day, if you continue to abuse the wooings of God by his Spirit, you will find out what it means to be totally bereft of any mercy or grace whatsoever. Every day, he says, remember, we have more mercies than we deserve. Let us look around us every week as we travel through the world and see whether we have not much to thank God for. If our hearts are in the right place, we shall never find any difficulty in building an Ebenezer. Now, you know what an Ebenezer is. Thus far, the Lord has been my help. Well would it be if our prayers and supplications were more mingled with thanksgiving. So there we are. Where am I? Am I like the one who turned back, praising God, thankful to Jesus? Or am I like one of the nine? The proportions are interesting. So only a tenth of those turned back to give thanks. So I don't know, what are we here, 70, 80 folks or so? Would there be seven or eight here with a heart that's praising God? And would you count yourself as one of the seven or the eight? Or do we recognize that really we're in a poor place? Here's another thought. Where does a life of praise begin and end? Well, I start to praise God. I mean, John Newton puts it very well in his well-known hymn, Amazing Grace. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Remember that? Coming to faith? Now, we've had lots of testimonies. And particularly if you have a particular time and date, it's almost overwhelming to think about it. Again, we had lots of testimonies during the mission. And there was one testimony in particular. And if you were there, it was very memorable. I came to ask about the time when he believed. And just suddenly overwhelmed. Couldn't speak. Very moved. Just remembering God's goodness at that particular time. Oh, how precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Where does praise end? Well, you know, in heaven right now, what's happening? Well, the worship service is continuing. Now, we have two worship services on a Sunday. Maybe you think that's a little bit much. I don't know. In the early church, they met every day. Now, it wouldn't be every moment every day. Maybe you think that's certainly excessive. But worship in heaven never ends. And there are little pictures in the book of Revelation. Here's one, chapter 5 and verse 11. Then I looked, says John, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, again, not embarrassed here, they're not mumbling, they're not chins down, but it's out and it's loud and they're shouting, they're in the presence of God. And where in the presence of God? It's good having the words on the wall. Look up, sing out, tell out my soul, the glories of the Lord. Here's what they're singing in heaven right now. Worthy is the Lamb, Jesus Christ, at the center. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that's in them saying to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down. And they worship. That's happening right now. And it's always happening. It never ceases. Now, it begins the hour I first believed in my soul. It's never going to end. You see, when I get to heaven, that's the business there. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain and glory and worship. So it never, ever ceases. So Newton comes to a great crescendo in his hymn. When I've been there 1,000 years... And some translations put 10,000 years. You could put 1,000,000 years. What's bigger than 1,000,000? Anybody know what's bigger than 1,000,000? 1,000,001. Well, what's the next big number? Well, 1,000,000,000. And what's bigger than a billion? Well, there's the next one's 1,000,000,000,000. And after 1,000,000,000,000, well, I'm lost now. I'm lost. But the thing about heaven is it never ends. And we're made for heaven. We have an immortal, never-dying soul that's going to be plunged into eternity. Heaven or hell, bliss or horror, all hinges on Christ. And what have I done with Christ? Did I embrace him? Did I repent? Did I cry out to him? He's only a step away, and death's only a step away. Keep praying for that poor family. I should stop thinking about things like that, but... She's in heaven. And that's the comfort for the family. Another little picture that's given in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. John says, after this I looked and behold a great multitude that no one could number from every nation and all tribes and peoples and languages standing before the throne and before the Lamb clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands and crying out again with a loud voice, heads up, singing out, tell out my soul. Here's what they're singing. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. So the RI First believes very precious, and in heaven there'll be never-ending praise. But here's the question I have for myself and for you tonight. What about now? What about this parenthesis? I've been saved, I'm being saved, I will be saved. What's it like now? Have I got a heart of praise? Am I praising and am I thankful now? So today, as I'm standing here, or you're sitting in the pew or the comfy chairs, upstairs or downstairs, am I one of the nine? Or am I still full of praise? Now be honest. Be honest, because I ought to be full of praise. We sang a prayer. So lots of these hymns, again, they're helpful to use in our quiet times. Lots of these hymns are prayers. Fill thou my life. Did I mean it? Did you mean it? Did we just sing the words to that familiar tune? Or did we mean it? Fill it. Fill it. Oh Lord, every part. My heart, my mind, my motivations, my considerations, my free time, my work time, my business time, my leisure time. Fill it in every part with praise, that my whole being, my conversation, my shopping, my online viewing, my driving the car, my walking across the street, my patience in the queue, my patience at the doctor's, my kindness to the receptionist on the end of the phone when I've been waiting for 45 minutes and listening to that music that's driving me nuts. Fill thou my life, O Lord, my God, in every part with praise, that my whole being may proclaim thy being, thy ways. He's a joyful God. What was he doing before there was a creation? We were thinking about this in Life Explored this afternoon. What was God doing? Because he is one being in triune splendor, the joy between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is beyond our imagination. That was for all eternity before there ever was a universe. And that joy overflows to you and to me. And that joy that overflows to you and to me ought to be overflowing from me to you. I ought to make you joyful. And you ought to make me joyful. But so often it's not the case, is it? You've got to moan, you've got to groan, I've got to moan, I've got to groan, this and that, and oh, him or her. And then to my neighbour, what do they see? May people see the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. What am I? Am I one of the nine? Am I one who's actually got it? Is there praise to God and thankfulness to Jesus Christ in my life? Now, if I'm one of the nine, what need I do? See, I don't know the end of the story, and I was thinking about the man this morning who came back, and we'd be able to ask him in glory, what were you singing? I want to hear more about the nine. Did any of them come back eventually? Did they go and see the priest? What was the conclusion of their life? Surely there must have been a note of gratitude. Did one come back a little bit later? We there are many questions we'd like to ask. Now, eternity is there for a reason, and we will have time to track these folks down. There's no doubt about that. These things really, really happened, and you and I are going to encounter people like this. So you'll be able to ask the guy who came back, what is it that you were singing, and tell us more about it, and did your life continue in praise? Now, if I'm one of the nine tonight, what I can do, you see, is being challenged in this way, ask my own heart, I can turn back. I can turn back. Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul-refreshing view of Jesus and his word? Oh, God, have mercy on me. This poor heart of mine. Is it growing cold? Is there a distance? Turn back. Turn back. Repentance is part of the ongoing Christian life. And quite often it's not the things that we're doing that we need to repent of. It's what we're not doing that we need to repent of. Do I love him? Am I grateful? Am I thankful? Am I worshipping him? See, he has a lovely promise. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Face the truth. Ask myself the question, is there real praise and thankfulness? If not, repent. If we confess our sin, this is wonderful. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The joy of many of these God used to inspire the Bible. Here's John writing early on in this epistle. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has been made manifest to us. This is Jesus. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete, or that your joy may be complete. Now, where is joy? It's in fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. You can sing the hymns again. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me, and the fairest of 10,000 in my precious Lord I see. Let's think about the Apostle Paul. Now, we thought about Samuel Rutherford. Paul can knock spots off him for his sufferings and problems, and you read lists in the New Testament. And yet here's what he writes, Philippians 3:1. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. And then Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Well, that's quite something, isn't it now? And Paul's not speaking from theory here. Remember, he's at Philippi. He's writing to them now. When he was in Philippi the first time, remember what happened to him? He's preaching. He's arrested. Summary trial. He's given the Roman 40 lashes minus one, 39 lashes. He and Silas are locked in the inner dungeon and in the stocks. And what happens? Now you see, rejoice in the Lord always was no theory to the Apostle Paul. So Paul and Silas, with a bleeding, painful back at midnight, are singing hymns of praise to God. This is remarkable. This is remarkable. What can do this? Only a present reality of God's presence. To know Christ and to pursue him. And he says in chapter 3, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Well, he's certainly knowing the fellowship of his sufferings in that Philippian jail. Rejoice in the Lord always. Now let me repeat, I say it again. Rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known before everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. Even being in the stocks at midnight, and the rats and the smell and the darkness. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Here's the Apostle Paul. Think about Peter, one of the 12 disciples, when he writes his letters again, full of praise and joy, despite the difficulties, the problems. 1 Peter chapter 3. Is it chapter 1? Yes, chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse 8, though you have not seen him, it's Jesus, I haven't. Have you seen him? Not with these physical eyes. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, here's the Old Testament prophets, in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, Things into which angels long to look. Now, what about that? Our salvation is so spectacularly, awesomely amazing. Our experience of God is beyond anything angels have experienced. This is, now angels would, they can't work it out. They're praising God, but they've no experience of this. When angels sinned, they were damned to hell. The elect angels remain, and they are astonished at what's happened to you and to me. They long to look into these things. Well, we've received them. What joy it should fill our souls with. Let's go into the Old Testament. Just think about David in some of his psalms. Joy, thankfulness, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Here's Psalm 34. verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times, says David. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will be continually in my mouth. So, what comes out of my mouth? What comes out of your mouth? We're told in the scriptures, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what am I full of? And what are you full of? What are we full of? If I'm full of self, then that's what comes out of my mouth. Here's the challenge now. If I'm full of Christ, that's what comes out of my mouth. The best indication as to what I'm full of comes when I get a knock. Right? In the good times, I can say praise the Lord along with anybody. I can have a smile and a ready grin. Isn't the Lord wonderful? Now, what happens though when the knocks come? Because that's the reality. You have a cup with some liquid in it. All is fine, and it gets a knock and some spills out. What comes out? What comes out is what's in. And if as a believer I'm very self-centered still, if I hit a trial or a knock, what comes out? If I'm full of me, it's the grumps and the complaints. If I'm full of Christ, think of Job in the Old Testament. All the hits that he takes in chapter 1. The Lord has given. The Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What a challenge. What a challenge. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be on my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces shall never be ashamed. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Psalm 30, verse 4. Sing praises to the Lord, all you his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Sing praises to the Lord, all you his saints. Give thanks to his holy name. Again, I've been challenging myself recently. When I pray generally, I pray in my head. And that's good. That's good. But I have found recently in my prayer times, if I actually start to speak out praise, verbally now, you've got to be careful where you're doing that and the situation, but it warms my heart. And to sing a hymn of praise, to get the hymn book and to find some of these that are directly to the Lord, not about him, but to him, and sing them to him, sing it out. There is a lift that comes, if it really is coming from my heart. There are many psalms we could read. Here's just one more. Psalm 33 and verse 1. Shout for joy to the Lord, you righteous. Praise befits the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Make melody to him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. Now you get the feel here. You get the sense that's coming on here. We above all people, here's David in the Old Testament. Now we've got the full glare of the gospel, Technicolor, widescreen, surround sound. It's all there. All the details. If anybody should praise him, it ought to be me. Am I one of the 9? Or am I the one who has turned back? If I haven't turned back yet, to repent and to see again. This is what brings the joy. See who Jesus is. See who Jesus is. And if he's your Jesus, your Savior, what a joy. And if God be for us. Now, after the summer break, that's the verse we pick up on in Romans 8. All things working together for good. And if God is for us, who can be against us? These great, great verses towards the end of Romans chapter 8. So, seeing who Jesus is. Now, not focusing now on even what he's done for me. If I'm focusing on what he's done, it's almost like a consumer again. And I can be up and down. Well, have I got benefits from him? Or just to know him for who he is? Jesus, Jesus, all sufficient, beyond telling, is thy worth in thy gracious face. There's beauty far surpassing anything found in all the earth's great wonders. Rose of Sharon, thou thyself art heaven's delight. Look to him, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Look to him, consider him. Lots of modern songs that we could have used if they're in the supplement. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see him, to see him. Let me finish with this. I've had an eye problem for about 3 years, and I had a test at the optician last Tuesday. The consultant, Mr. Albamani, great guy, lovely guy, knows his stuff. And I need to keep an eye on you, he says. So I go in once a year, and he has a look at the optic nerve at the back of my, this eye here, my right eye. Yeah. And before I went in to see Mr. Albamani, you go and see the optician, and they give you the chart. Right, read the letters. I think I got down to the end, okay, and again, this eye. Then you go and see Mr. Albamani, he has a look, and yes, very good, very good. No deterioration now. Drink lots of water, drink lots of water. Drink other, but must be water, pure water, 2 litres a day. That's quite a challenge, actually. I'm trying to keep that up, and I've got to take an aspirin, little dose of aspirin each day, keeping the blood flowing through the optic nerve. But I thought about those letters, and did I get them right? When I read the Bible, what am I looking for? Every part. I'm looking for J-E-S-U. You got it. S. Looking for Jesus. He's the one that brings joy. He's the joy giver. The joy bringer. Find him. He's there. He's not well hidden. It's there in the Old Testament, types, shadows, figures, sacrifices, prophecies. It's there in the Gospels. It's full of it in the Gospels, and starting Luke when we get back in September. And he's there in the letters. They explain he's certainly there in Revelation, dominating the scene. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. So many hymns we could have sung. Let me quote this one in conclusion, one of my favorites. I'm not going to sing it, but here it is. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me save that thou art. Save that thou art. Not what you've done, just that you are. Thou my best thought by day or night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance now and always, thou and thou only, first in my heart, high King of heaven, my treasure thou art. Now, if that's true, you're going to be praising. You're going to be thankful. And it won't be glib, oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. So, I mean, that's okay, but it can get a bit wearing. Is it real? Do you really mean it? And if you really mean it, you don't have to say it. Your life is just a life of praise. High King of heaven, after victory won, may I reach heaven's joy, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. Or all ten were cleansed. Only one came back to say, thank you, Jesus. Jesus, thank you. What about me? What about you? Fill thou, O Lord, my life with praise in every part, that my whole being and my may proclaim thy being and thy ways. Let's think about that hymn, 772. If you've got a hymn book at home, pray it regularly. Let's see if there's a, if we mean it, God would love to answer a prayer like that. What a joy it would be, wouldn't it? What a joy to be a church of joy. And really praising and thankful. Oh, people would take note. People would take note. Let's pray. Father, thank you for a brief time again in your word, challenging words from your heart to our hearts. What will we do? What will we do? Can we take these things? Oh God, have mercy on us. We pray that wherever we're at, you take us on. Help us to turn back, not be one of the nine who just continued in mere obedience, but Lord, to have a heart full of praise and thankfulness to you for who you are, and then certainly for all that you've done for us. Help us, we pray. Amen.